Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks that you are a God of mercy and grace, and you deign to condescend to us, not because we deserve it, because of your wonderful and amazing love. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch and a sinner like me. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not sure it's true with you, but it is certainly true with me that sometimes I associate one line with an individual, and I'm thinking about a TV actor. And so if you were to say to me, what is one line that you would attach to Jim Nabors, Gomer Pyle, it would be, surprise, surprise, surprise. I was kind of like a child of the 60s, so when I would get home from kindergarten, I was the morning kindergarten child. My mother would be sleeping, and I regularly watched the Beverly Hillbillies and Gomer Pyle, USMC. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. In this morning's gospel lesson, we have a passage in the gospel which is full of surprises. So that leads me to my first point, and that is Christ healing of a leper. As it's referenced in Matthew 8:1, Christ having come down from the mountain, he is still followed by a large crowd of people. And a leper approaches Jesus. And we set the scene of this first miracle within this passage. The term leprosy refers to an infectious skin disease. But no matter what variety of leprosy you had, it meant that the person was in for a life of suffering. The one suffering from leprosy could no longer dwell in a city, town, or village. In fact, if anyone got close to him, he had to shout out, "Leper, leper, leper, stay away from me." He had to go into quarantine for as long as he had leprosy. This meant not only social isolation from people, but also the type of normal interaction, including being prevented from worshiping in the synagogue or temple. There just wasn't any social interaction. It made me think, even as I was studying for my sermon, how in the world did they get food? Did they shout for somebody, "Hey, could you go to the market and get me something to eat?" And the best the person could do would drop it about 100 feet from them? The questions we never ask, but were reality for this person every day of his life that he was within isolation. And for some people, once you got it, you had it until the day you died. This man is taking a huge risk by simply coming into this crowd of people. Probably he's announcing, "I'm a leper, I'm a leper." And the crowd separates and cuts a path for Jesus, for him to get to Jesus. And it's in that context that we read in verses 2 and 3 of Matthew 8. And the leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The man knelt down and prostrated himself before the Lord in humble worship of the Lord Jesus, in desperation, before the Lord as his only hope for healing. And notice, this man was certain that Jesus could heal him. His only question was, "If you are willing. I know you can, but if you are willing, please cleanse me." Jesus truly listened to the leper and with compassion and mercy told him, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately, by the power of God Himself, God the Son, the moment Jesus said, be cleansed, it happened. Just like at the dawn of creation, the moment God said, let there be light, and there was light. It's very significant that the Lord touched him. Because ordinarily, you touch a leper, tag, you're it. You got it. You got this disease because you touched the person. The Lord Jesus, though, was stronger than any dangerous nature of the disease that gripped this poor leper. And his power caused this dread disease to instantaneously withdraw so that the man was healed. Our Lord, knowing the timing of this miracle, he did not want his popularity to spread like wildfire so that he was not able to enter cities. So he told the man, don't tell anyone of what I've done. But you've got a whole crowd here. Even though this man apparently didn't tell anyone other than the priest, there's a lot of people looking on, and I'm not sure all of them kept their mouth shut. He did tell him to go and show himself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses had commanded to be given, as recorded in Leviticus 14, verse 2 and following. Well, a person who had leprosy was considered unclean until they went through a process to verify that the person actually had been healed. And the Jewish priest was to judge whether a leper had been healed. Jesus could not be contaminated by the leprosy, for immediately he healed the man. But he wanted the man to go through the verification process, and so he told the man to go to the priest. This miracle reveals the power of our Lord Jesus by his almighty power, but it also shows his compassion. By this miracle, the Lord saves the leper from his disease, but also brings about a social restoration to this man. He no longer had to isolate himself. He could come out of quarantine. He could worship God with his people. He could dwell in a village. He could associate with people. And so Jesus not only heals him physically, he heals him spiritually, he heals him socially. And just as God has shown mercy to this man, he has shown mercy to us who are spiritual lepers, and we're in need of cleansing of our sins. As Isaiah 1, verse 18 says, come, now let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be white as wool. And so the first surprise is that this man had faith and asked, Lord, if you are willing. And the Lord cleansed him immediately. My second point and my second surprise is Christ's healing of the paralytic. Matthew 8:5 tells us that as Jesus entered Capernaum, a city in the northern part of Israel in the region of Galilee, a centurion approaches Jesus and urgently pleads with him that he would come and heal his servant suffering from paralysis. In Luke's version of this event, the added detail is not only is he suffering from paralysis, but he's on the verge of death. This man is a military officer in charge of 100 soldiers within the Roman army, and thus a Gentile. Hold on to that thought about being a Gentile until a little bit later. This man not only understands authority, but he has a right understanding of who Jesus is and entrusts himself to Jesus as Messiah. And then he goes on to say that Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come and enter into my house and be under my roof, but only speak the word and your servant shall be healed. A second surprise and aha moment. Most people want to be touched by Jesus. This paralytic will not even be touched. He won't even hear Jesus' voice. But the paralytic has enough faith that he says, just speak the word, whether you're a mile off or 10 miles off. You can heal my servant. And so once again, we have somebody who has not only a reverent estimation and trust in Christ as Lord, but also has a proper view of himself that he is not worthy that the Lord come under his roof. This is a godly example of someone coming to the Lord, begging for his mercy, and yet with proper humility and reverence. The centurion is certainly in line with his proper understanding of oneself, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:3, "For through the grace given to me, I say to you, everyone among you is not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." This man has a proper view of God and himself. Our Lord then commends this man for his faith in him in Matthew 8:10-11, where it says, "Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, 'Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven.'" Jesus marvels at this man. We not only see a surprising faith, but we see God the Son surprised and marveling. In fact, there's only two narratives which speak of Jesus marveling. Here, Jesus marvels at this man's great faith. The opposite side of the coin, in the second narrative, Jesus marvels at the lack of faith of people in his own town, Nazareth. In this passage, our Lord speaks of people coming from the east and west and reclining at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which I believe refers to the messianic banquet at Christ's second coming. "While many in Israel seek righteousness, but apart from faith in Jesus as Lord, and do not find entrance into God's kingdom, while the Gentiles who knew that they were not worthy of God's mercy shall receive God's mercy because they trusted in this one, the Lord Jesus Christ." The faith of this Gentile centurion provides the revelation of Jesus Christ's mercy for the whole world, for both Jew and Gentile, for everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, Greek or Jew, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus is part of God's kingdom and God's family. But those who profess to be part of God's kingdom but do not trust in Christ as Messiah lack faith in Christ, and they will lack God's mercy and love in eternity. As Christ warns in Matthew 8:12, those lacking this faith are cast out into the outer darkness and that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These figures of weeping and gnashing of teeth in the outer darkness represent the eternal judgment of God against those who reject Christ as Lord. Our passage then concludes with the words of Jesus to the centurion, "Go and it shall be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. The healing of the paralytic shows us the breadth of God's kingdom, including Gentiles and Jews who trust in Jesus as Lord, Messiah, and Savior. May we praise God who cleanses us from our sins and has granted all those who call on his name to be adopted into his kingdom and into God's family through faith in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. We beg you, O God, that you would have mercy on us. Cleanse us from our sins, pardon our iniquities, heal our infirmities, especially heal our spiritual infirmities of our souls. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and God, we ask this in the name of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.